If you have not already submitted your email address, you can do so at this moment. Use your smartphone, place your camera on the QR code, hit the link, and then place your email address on the link, and we will begin training you immediately. We're going to begin sending evangelism training material to you Wednesday morning. And so if you've not already done this, please do this now. If you are not a QR code person, you can take the clipboards. We have them right up here. And you can put your name, your email address on the clipboard, and we will, again, begin that training. You will receive your first training material this Wednesday at about 8 o'clock in the morning, and we'll do that every Wednesday. Our promise to you is that we will do that every week. We will send you a five-minute video on Friday. We will send you written reports and updates on Wednesday. And then you, as a student in this school, will receive that training regularly. So please do that if you've not already done so. Once again, clipboards up front. 1953, the American College Dictionary came together. And they're responsible for updating the definition of words and the etymology of words and providing a little context to just English words. Well, when they came to the word Christian, the dictionary committee decided they needed to make some alterations because there was something happening in the nation that was catching the attention of almost every religious group. In fact, the one of the major denominations of that year, as one of their key topics, they were going to discuss the growth of the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ was growing so rapidly. In fact, from 1947 to 1953, we doubled in size. We went to almost 2.5 million in membership. One out of every 84 people were a member of the Church of Christ. We had men who traveled this nation, and their entire work revolved around building the old A-frame church buildings with the Bible classes on either side. They're elongated buildings. And those men literally went around this nation, and they just built church buildings. The Church of Christ was on the map. It's never been done before. To my knowledge, it's never been done since. But that dictionary committee made an incredible move. So I'm going to open the dictionary, and I'm going to read to you from their own writings what they did with the word Christian, and let's look at it. Number one, here's what they said a Christian was: pertaining to or deriving from the name of Jesus Christ or his teachings, not earth-shattering. All right, so number two, believing in or becoming a part of Christianity. Number three, pertaining to Christians. Number four, exhibiting a spirit or proper follower of Christ. Number five, and it just continues, being a representative of Christianity. But we go down to I believe it's the ninth definition of the word. Are you ready? The definition they put in the American College Dictionary, which stood for almost 10 years, was a Campbellite, a member of the Church of Christ. You may not understand tonight what that word means, Campbellite, but let me help you historically understand. The Church of Christ grew so quickly, the only thing they could do is make fun of you. And so they used that term Campbellite as a term of derision, because they could not stop your doctrine, they could not stop your growth, so they just people would call you a Campbellite. Well, so quickly was the church growing that they put you in the dictionary. They never put anybody else in the dictionary. Brethren, you define the term Christian. Can you imagine being a place in this nation where we defined the term? Brethren, not only are we removed from that era so far that even our members don't even understand the word Campbellite. You're not called a Campbellite. In fact, there may be some parents in the pews tonight that say, Rob, I'm so thankful that my children aren't called Campbellites. Brethren, do you know the reason why? Because most people today don't know the difference between a Mennonite and the Church of Christ. They don't have to make fun of you. In fact, several years ago when that Christian university did that demographic study, and they found out that 60% of our church members are over the age of 50. 13% are under the age of 30. Well, that university then made what we call a projection. So a projection means that they look at the status quo, and then they look into the future, and they project where we're going. So with those demographics and the current rate of loss, here's what they came up with. They said, okay, 2016, we stand at about just over 12,000 churches of Christ in America. They said if the trend continues, by 2049, we'll have about 3,000 churches of Christ left. Brethren, that is 25 years from now. Do you realize right now, in the next 25 years, as two-thirds of our church members go into eternity to receive their reward, it's just simple math. If 60% of our church members are over the age of 50, in the next 25 years, we're going to lose many of them. The Church of Christ is going to lose membership. Look at membership. Here it is, 2016, almost 1.2 million. 2049, 275,000 church members left. Brethren, are you prepared to live in a country when you can't find a Church of Christ? Because if we don't change direction, if we don't get our churches waking up, if we don't help our membership realize that if we don't practice, here's the key term, and this is the term, if there's one term I want you to remember this week, if we don't practice congregational evangelism, we won't make it. We cannot rely upon our preachers to do our evangelism work for us. We must work together. We must understand the 1 Corinthians 12 concept is alive and well, and it's very valid. And when you can build that concept in a church and a culture begins to emerge where everything we do revolves around evangelism, the church will grow. Friends, do you not realize this morning we're facing a generation that knows not personal Bible study? They don't know how to do it. Literally, right now in our churches, you are looking at Christians that do not know personal evangelism. They don't know congregational evangelism. They've never seen it. And the only way to reverse the trend is to train the church. I got to tell you a story. I was down in Sarasota, Florida, several years ago. And Brother Ronald Doderlin is one of the elders. And he said, Rob, he says, this is an important time for Florida. He said, I have reached out to every Church of Christ I can get a hold of. He said, I want someone there. He filled the church building. There were 11 congregations there, and I thought I had a pretty good sampling of Christians, so I thought this is a good time to ask a question. Here's my question. How many members sitting in the pews, I asked, have a method to bring someone to Christ? Brethren, I had a congregation of hundreds. I counted. We had 10 Christians raise their hand. I don't know if you realize it or not, but if you were to go into a war footing and you were to look at your army and you would say, how many of our soldiers are ready to go into battle? And 10 soldiers raise their hand. You've lost. We cannot win this battle depending upon our preachers to do the work for us. Brother, let me be plain. The membership is the key to growth. It's the membership. If the membership is not plugged in, if they're not trained, if they don't know how to do it, your congregation is not going to make it. I mean, we need it from the youngest to the oldest. And I'm not asking everyone tonight, please don't get me wrong, I'm not asking everyone tonight to be a Navy SEAL. When you go through boot camp, a very small portion, I mean, we're talking about a very small portion, ever become a Ranger, ever become a Navy SEAL. We need Navy SEALs, and I think we've got some. But the Navy SEALs don't win the war. Do you know who wins a war? The infantry. The membership. You put them out in the field. That's where the war is won or lost. It's not going to be won or lost by a small group of people, highly trained and very good and skilled. We need to train our church. We've got to get our members trained. And I want to focus in tonight as we begin. We need to put a simple tool in their hand. And we need to practice 2 Timothy 2:2 congregationally. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. That's the placard at Southwest. That's the placard, I'm sure, at Memphis and Texas and Southeast Institute of Biblical Studies. It's the placard of almost every Bible school, preaching school. Is it not the placard of the Church of Christ locally? Isn't that what we should be doing? Should we not be, as a church, training our members instead of relying upon a school, but the church should be training their members how to practice evangelism? Go ye therefore and teach. Brother, that's the Great Commission. I mean, it's the only commission. The reason it's called the Great Commission, to my knowledge, it's the only commission. I don't know of another commission. If there's another commission, I wish someone would point it out. It's in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16, Luke 24, 44 through 49. It's in John 20, 21 through 23, Acts 1, verse 8. It's in every gospel account. It's in the book of Acts. This is it. Go ye therefore and teach, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them. It's a teach, baptize, teach commission. And it's great because it's the only one. Brethren, it's the Great Commission in Tanzania. It's the Great Commission in Honduras. It's the Great Commission in Jamaica. It's the Great Commission in Mexico. It is the Great Omission in the United States of America. We're not doing it here. Don't you worry. Man, when it comes to filling an airplane and sending our money overseas, we're all in. Brother, we're ready to go. When I say, I'm going to take a group of 50 to Jamaica, you ought to see the plane. Brother, I've done this for years. How many times, Dad, has the pilot got on the megaphone before we are about to depart, and he says, I'm sorry, we're going to be delayed this afternoon. We're overweight. We had too many people on the plane. They all wanted to go to Jamaica. They brought everything they have, and then they got to take fuel off. Everybody's excited. We're ready to go. We do a campaign in Itasca, Texas. We do a campaign in, I don't know, how about San Angelo? We do a campaign in Granbury Street. Let's do a campaign here, and let's see how many people go. Let's see if we can fill an airplane. Brethren, have you ever stopped and just thought about, the power behind small words? Because there's a small word in Matthew 28, 18, and 19 that's powerful. It's one that I overlooked for years, and I'm going to give it to you. Go ye. I'm not talking about the word go. I'm talking about the pronoun. It's ye. And what is the word ye? Is it plural or singular? It's plural. Go ye. So go ye doesn't mean go me. It means go all. But we're all going. Every member of the Church of Christ has got to be involved in this. This is not a go me. This is a go all. This is about the Church of Christ engaging the lost in their community. Brethren, we're an army of soul winners, and our target's clear. Every lost person around this church building, that's the mission of the Ninth and Main Church of Christ. Our mission are lost people. And I just wish to God, and I just, my brethren would spend as much time and as much energy, and they would be as so dedicated to the place they live as they are to every other country on earth. Brother, I want to preach, and believe you me, I want to go everywhere. And I'm not opposed to foreign works. Let's go. But let's go to San Angelo. Let's go here. It's got to start at home. We got preachers all over the brotherhood. And we got good preachers. They're my friends and I love them. But we got a problem in our pulpits. We got a lot of preachers that can hit a grand slam every Sunday morning. And I'm not so sure they can do a Bible study with one person. Brethren, I want to speak to my preacher friends. I want to speak to you tonight. I want to ask questions because, I mean, we got guys that can sit in pulpits and they can knock it out of the park. And here's one of them. He writes me this letter. He says, hey, Rob, I recently heard your 5 lessons on becoming a soul winner. I just graduated from a school of preaching 7 years ago. He said, in each of your lessons, I was overcome with sorrow. The sorrow was from the realization that although I know the gospel and I can preach it and teach it competently to the brethren, I am woefully inadequate to teaching it to those outside of the church. Time after time, Rob spoke about things we ought not to do. And time after time, I admitted I do that, like chasing rabbits. Things we do to alleviate the doubts of the brethren. Telling instead of showing and actually allowing the unbeliever to guide the study. I came to realize that while the school had prepared me to preach and teach the brethren, I had not learned how to teach those on the outside. I'm just wondering tonight, our preachers, are we ready to teach the lost? I was in a preacher's conference. I told Mike this not long ago. And the preacher, he got up before the crowd, 400 preachers in the audience, 400 of us. His question was not hard. How many preachers in the audience are currently involved in a Bible study? A few of us raised our hand. He said, well, let me help you. How many preachers over the last, three months have had a personal Bible study? You sat down with somebody and helped them come to, how many? A few more raised their hand. We were in the minority. And then he made a statement, and I'm going to make it here even tonight. The rest of you who have your hands down, quit now. Just quit. If we are preaching the gospel, but we're not helping the lost come to the cross, there's something wrong. Somewhere. I'm talking about pulpit preachers. Men who claim we love the Lord. Well, brethren, let's see your love for the Lord. Let me see it. Let's go out there to the lost and meet people. Let's go talk to people. Let's love people. Let's not just tell the church about it. I guarantee your church won't rise above your pulpit. And if your pulpit is not helping reach the lost, your church isn't doing it. A congregation is going to watch that pulpit. If that preacher is having those evangelistic sermons, they're going to follow what he does every time. I was getting ready one Sunday morning. I saw a family walk in. I didn't know them. And my wife and I walked up and I said, hey, my name is Rob. And you guys visiting this morning? He said, well, my name is Jonathan Royal. This is my wife, Stephanie, my son, Johnny, Julianne, Jenna, JC. And I said, well, glad you're here. And he said, I am visiting. I said, from the local area? He said, yes. I said, this is going to be a good day. And I said, sir, I said, may I ask, did someone invite you? And he said, well, you did. And I said, well, I don't remember. He's 6 foot two. I'd remember this. And I said, well, Jonathan, I said, I don't remember. He said, well, someone in this church did. And he brought out of his pocket, house to house, heart to heart. He said, well, you guys send this magazine out. And hey, let me tell you, I just moved here about a month ago. He said, I got up this morning. We always go to church. We haven't found one yet. And I said, family, we're going to church. And they said, Daddy, where are we going? He said, we'll go to that one. And he said, Mr. Whitaker, he said, since you came to us first, we're going to give you the first crack at us. I thought that was good. I liked it. I said, hey, that's pretty good, Jonathan. I said, I'm so glad you're here. So he sat down, go through the service. I'm feeling pretty good. And I made a critical error. I won't make it again. I learned from my mistakes. I went up to him and I said, Jonathan, I said, my wife's got supper home and we got plenty. We'd just like to have you come over, maybe get to know each other. Now, brethren, in just about every culture in the world, that's the way you do it, except for ours. See, as soon as you invite someone over to your house that you've just met, they're going to think you're a serial killer and they're going to run. All right? You just don't do that in our culture anymore. And I made an error. Here's where I want to make a little correction. Here's my suggestion. In our culture, just because of how we are, the first step is to invite them out to eat. It's neutral. Okay, it's not going to scare them. So I don't do that anymore. I always go out to eat first. I will get them to my home. And all right, so I said, Jonathan, I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, Jonathan, what do you propose? He looked at me and he said, why don't you come to my house? I said, okay. I said, hope he's not a serial killer, but all right. You know, I said, yes, sir. I said, when do you want me? He said, what about tomorrow about 2 o'clock? I said, huh. All right, 2 o'clock tomorrow. So sure enough, I looked at my children. I said, Jared, Hannah, grab anything that says ball, basketball, soccer ball, football, tennis ball, racket. I don't care. I said, you have one job. I want those 4 kids out of the house. I said, I'm going to have a Bible study. And they said, okay, Dad. So we got there. Miss Stephanie poured us some tea and sweet tea in Tennessee. And so we sat around the coffee table. And we just talked. And I learned a little bit more about him. And I said, Jonathan, I said, you want to know a little bit more about the Willette Church of Christ? He said, you know, I kind of did. So I had you over. I said, well, I just so happen to have, let me see if I have these little booklets. And I said, they're called Back to the Bible. I said, if you'd like to maybe start, we could do one now. He said, yeah, that'd be okay. He said, well, preacher, there's a couple more things you need to know about us. And I said, well, sure. So I said, what do I need to know? He says, we're from Florida. I said, well, I like Floridians. That is not a problem. And he said, well, he said, no, it's more than that. He said, I was deputy sheriff. I said, I like law enforcement. Still not a problem. And he said, now, Rob, he said, the drug problem got so bad down there. And he said, one day the sheriff came in and he said, boys, He said, things are getting bad. Tax revenue's down. He says, I know we need more officers, but they say they can't afford them. In fact, we got to cut. Who will take an early buyout? He said, I jumped at it. I said, I'll take it. I'm out of here. I came home and I told my family, we're moving. My wife said, where are we going? I said, I don't know. He said, let's get out the map. He got out the map. He says, we're going somewhere here in the southeast. He said, the more remote, the better. He looked for a remote spot. He says, boop, there it is. He said, Rob, my finger landed on Red Boiling Springs, Tennessee. I said, you succeeded. It's remote. We're 45 minutes from a grocery store, Jonathan. And I said, what are you going to do for a living here in Red Boiling Springs? He said, well, he said, lots of farmers out here. He said, I'm going to start a fencing company. I said, okay. And Jonathan, is there anything else you want to tell me? He said, we're religious. We went to a big community church. He said, I mean, it was a fiery church. And that preacher, man, he excited people. He was, what's the word, Rob? Charismatic. And man, Rob, and one day he was a preaching just to praise Jesus. And he had the Spirit, and everybody had the Spirit. And my son says, Dad, I got to go forward. And my son, I went with him. He went down forward. The man put his hand on his forehead, and he said, it's a Jesus come into your heart. He said, my son was saved. I said, is there anything else I need to know? He said, well, he said, Rob, we went back to that church. When we went back to that church several weeks later, we noticed something. The preacher was gone. I said, where did he go? He says, no one knows. I said, well, that's not good, Jonathan. And he said, we just kept coming back. And the crowds got smaller and smaller. One day we showed up at the church and there was a sign on the door that said church closed. And then he looked at me and said, he said, Rob, you're not closing anytime soon, are you? I said, not that I know of. And I said, anything else, Jonathan? One more thing. I said, okay. He said, I believe people lie. And they all lie. He says, and you're going to lie to me. I said, Jonathan? He said, Rob, I was in law enforcement for 11 years, and I don't trust anybody. He said, so tonight, this afternoon, as you do this study, you'll have to prove everything you teach me. I said, that's a deal. And it won't be hard, Jonathan, because I'm going to let the Bible do all the teaching. It's called Back to the Bible. He said, okay, let's get started. We opened up Back to the Bible, green booklet, book number one. I said, Jonathan, let's read John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I said, Jonathan, Jesus says the blank will set you free. I've done these, at that point, over 20 years. Never had a question about John 8:32 until Jonathan Royal came. He looked at me and says, how do you know it's Jesus? I said, because the letters are red. No, that's not what I said. I said, no. I said, Jonathan, go back to verse number 31 and read. And it says, Jesus said. He said, okay. He said, I'm going to question everything you teach me. And so, sure enough, he put it in. So, as we're going through this study, you can tell he's gaining confidence. It's called faith. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So he's growing, right, as we're going. And so by the end of the study, he's just hitting. He's hitting on all cylinders, right? And Stephanie looks over at Jonathan. She says, Jonathan, in all the years I've gone to church, I've never done a Bible study. And Jonathan says, I haven't either. And she said, I have learned a lot. And I said, would y'all like to do another one? They said, yes. I said, all right. Would y'all like to come to our house next week? My wife's best cook in Macon County. We'll eat a dinner. Then we'll do a study. They said, that's good. And so they did. And they went through book two, and they loved it. I mean, they said, man, we didn't know any of this stuff. We were never taught any of this before. You could just see, they're going to the cross, brethren. It's just a matter of time. And we go to the third study. We're going through it. Stephanie tears up. Jonathan, he's kind of somber. And she looks at me and she said, Rob, Jonathan, I have a problem and we got to talk to you. And I said, what is it? Rob, neither Jonathan or I have ever been baptized. Rob, we didn't know. I said, it's okay. I said, we'll fix that right now. We took him to the church building, baptized him. That's not why I'm telling you this story. I did all of that to get to this right here. This is our son. Jonathan's drying out in the baptistry, right? He's drying off. We've already gone to the next target. It's his son. He's 15 years old. He's my next contact. And I'm going to reach Johnny. And I said, Jonathan, Johnny doesn't know what you just learned. He says, no. I said, Jonathan, I said, I tell you what, why don't we set up an appointment? I said, you and I will sit down, or you or Stephanie, and we'll teach Johnny the gospel. What do you think? He raised his finger and he looked at me, and this is what he said. He said, no, I don't want you teaching my son. I said, Jonathan, I don't understand. He said, Rob, do you got any of those little booklets, those green, blue, and red booklets? Are you talking about Back to the Bible? He said, yes. I said, on our evangelism table, we've got them there. He said, may I have three sets? Because we're going to teach our son. How is it that brand new Christians know enough to teach someone the gospel of Christ? But you've been in the pews for 30 years and you don't know enough. I'm going to give you three reasons tonight why I love Back to the Bible. Why don't you turn your books, open up your Evangelism Simplified Guidebooks, and I want you to write down three words for me tonight on this lesson. All right, number one, why do I like it? It's simple. Brethren, I'm talking about new converts are using it. All right, if new converts are using it, you can use it. And so this does not require preaching school type training. It does not require academic learning advantages. You don't have to know the Greek. You don't have to be a preacher. Probably better that you're not. All right? You have to be able to read. All right. So if you can read, now if you can listen, all right, because we have this on a digital format, you can actually use this in a digital way. So fifth graders can do this. New converts are using it. Three studies, 90 minutes to complete. Yes, no, fill in the blank. Did you realize the Church of Christ was not started by theologians? Did you know that? Did you know the Church of Christ was not started by academics? Did you know the Church of Christ was started with fishermen? Brethren, I would suggest that if you got to have higher degrees of education to do a Bible study, you used to throw the study away because it's not that hard. You just read your Bible, right, and fill in the blank, and that is Back to the Bible. We're going to keep it simple. We literally had in Missouri, I met a middle school student, and he said, Rob, I really want to study with my grandfather, and I don't know how to do it. He said, how do I get my grandfather to study the Bible? I said, use the backdoor method. He said, what is that? I said, I want you to go to your grandfather, and I want you to your grandpa. I need your help. What is it, son? I've learned how to do this Bible study, and I'm supposed to teach people my community, but my assignment is to practice on someone I know that's not in my church. And I need some good feedback. Grandpa, would you let me practice on you? He said, well, sure. He said, son, you just sit down and open the Bible, and I'll give you some critique. 3 weeks later, Grandpa's in the baptistry. Grandpa didn't know he was lost. If a middle schooler can convert his grandfather, why can't we? Let's keep going. Number two, it's scriptural, right? It's scriptural. Any Bible study not based on the Bible, run from it. If you don't need a Bible, there's something wrong. Now, Back to the Bible was written based on the King James Version of the Bible. But, brethren, you can use any version of the Bible. And you say, oh, now, preacher, I don't want you advocating for these modern speech versions. You know, they're not accurate. I understand. But I want you to listen to me. I want you to give me your full attention for 60 seconds. Brittany Langford walks in my house. She's carrying a Bible. And she puts it on the table. And she goes to the bathroom. I pick up her Bible. It's the New American Catholic Bible. Now, I'm going to do a Bible study with Brittany Langford. And Nicole and I looked at each other. And Nicole said, what are you going to do, Rob? I said, well, I said, I've never done a Bible study with the New American Catholic Bible. I said, I'm not sure. And so I immediately started to think about how I could help her use maybe one of these gift Bibles. And because I wasn't sure how this would go. And then I remembered the seven principles that I operate under. And I said, I'm about to violate two of them. And I said, if I go into a Bible study on Bible versions, I very well could lose this one. And it's not because I don't know the difference. It's not because I can't teach her, but there may be some outstanding circumstances. And do I really want to step on that landmine or climb that hill? So I made a quick decision, judgment. I said, I'm going to leave it. I'm just going to use it. So we walk through the studies, all three. She becomes a Christian using the New American Catholic Bible. Now, listen carefully. After that's over, we're doing new convert studies. She walks in our house. She lays it down. Rob, hey, have I ever told you the story about my Bible? I said, no, Brittany. I said, but I'd love to hear it. She said, you know, before my grandmother passed away, she called me over to the house. She said, Brittany, this is the family Bible, and you're the only one I've got. and I'm going to give you the family Bible. What would have happened if I insulted the family Bible? Would there have ever been a Bible study? But does not the Great Commission say teach, baptize, teach? Well, could we suggest that there are some things that we can teach after the conversion? I mean, there's some things that can wait. I mean, I just decided that's not the hill I'm going to die on, right? I can get through this study without tackling that issue now. She doesn't use it today. She knows better. It requires Bible reading. All answers from the text. I want you to take your Bibles very quickly to Acts chapter 8. Wilma Bates taught this to me, Stephenville, Texas. I learned this from Miss Wilma. Bobby passed away. I'm sitting in her home, and we always visit Wilma. And I said, Miss Wilma, and she says, Rob, can I tell you about the history of how back to the Bible was written? I said, yes. I said, I'd love to know. She said, well, Bobby wanted to write a method that was based on the scriptural method. I didn't know what that was. I said, Wilma, help me. She said, well, Rob, she said, read Acts 8:5. And I did right there. I said, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ. She says, who's Philip? I said, well, he's an evangelist. Oh, no, Rob. He's more than that. Who is he? I said, well, he's an evangelist. No, Rob, he's an inspired evangelist. Whatever Philip does is right. Whatever Philip does is going to be better than I do. So what did Philip do? He preached Christ. Well, what does that mean? Let's find out. Let's go down to verse 12. Then the Bible says that when they believe Philip's preaching, what was he preaching? Christ. What does that mean? The things concerning the kingdom of God, that's the church of Christ. Things concerning the name of Jesus Christ, that's the authority of Christ. He baptized them, both men and women. That's the salvation of Christ. Let me help you. Take your back to the Bible. Let's do this together. Everybody get your books. Let's do this. Book number one, the name of Jesus Christ. Book number two, the kingdom of God. Book number three, the salvation of Christ. Brethren, when Bobby Bates put back to the Bible together, he decided he would write a method based on Acts 8:12. I doubt seriously you can improve upon that. So people, what do you need to know for someone to become a Christian? They need to know the authority of Christ, the church of Christ, and they need to know the salvation of Christ. And may I suggest any Bible study method out there that does not teach people about the church of Christ, don't use it. We need to know about the church of Christ. And that's where salvation is located. And so it bothers me when we do Bible studies and we have someone baptized, and the next Sunday, where are they? But did you ever talk to them about the church of Christ? No, that's the answer. They don't know about the church, and so they go right back to where they were located. That's not how Philip did it. Jesus came preaching the kingdom. And so Philip preached the kingdom. And so let's preach the kingdom. They need to know about the kingdom of God. Let's not minimize the church of Christ. Number three, back to the Bible, successful. Wilma told us one day, sitting again in her house, she says, hey, Rob, she says, you know, Bobby and I did a lot of Bible studies. I said, I know, Wilma. And I said, what was your percentage, like, of people go through the study? She said, Rob, if they finish three studies, 9 out of 10 times, we baptize them. I said, well, Wilma, that's about exactly where we are. And I'm not talking about the person that drops off after book one, because they realize where it's going and they're not willing to make that commitment. They eliminate themselves. That happens, Mike. They see it. But I'm talking about the person that goes through the three studies. What happens? 9 out of 10 times, they become children of God. But you're saying, oh, now, Rob, listen, I'm not Mike. I'm not Rob. I'm not, you know, I'm not Brian. I'm not Brother Smitty. I don't have those guys. I'm not Royce. I didn't go to preaching school. It wouldn't work for me. I want you to listen carefully. Jonathan Royal calls me after their conversion, about a year. And he says, hey, Rob, he says, my mother-in-law, Cindy's moving up from Florida. Rob, we want her to be a Christian. I said, Jonathan, you know what you need to do. He said, I need to teach her. He said, Rob, I'm not sure how to get this going. I said, well, I said, Jonathan, use the meal method. The meal method? I said, yes, invite her over to eat. And I said, ask her if she would like to know more about the church. She's going to say yes. People are very agreeable when they eat. And I said, you just so happen to have these little booklets and do lesson one. He said, I'll do it. He calls me 9 o'clock that night. And he said, Rob, I just finished book one with Mimi. I said, wonderful. I said, do book two. And so he did. Next week, he did book two with Mimi. And then the next week, he did book three with Mimi. Guess what happens 9 out of 10 times when you do Bible studies with Mimis? They're baptized. And that's exactly what happened. He called me and said, Rob, I've never baptized anybody. Can you help me? And I said, I'll be right there. Dustin Dotary is one of our regional trainers. He's in Kansas. Dustin's a soul winner. We asked him to join our school over a year ago. This man cannot be stopped. What I love about Dustin is he's self-taught. He didn't go to a school preaching. He just buried himself in evangelistic teaching. He contacted us, baptized his wife, started baptizing. He took a little church from 20. There are about 40 members now. And I want you to notice a couple things on this chart. So I'm going to give you some very, very encouraging news. In fact, in the next 10 minutes, if you've got heart problems, hold on. Because this is going to be very stimulating. Brethren, I'm going to show you churches all over the country that are doing this. And I'm going to show you some growing churches. Churches that are bucking the trend. And these churches are baptizing 10% at minimum of their membership every year. Some are enrolled in our school remotely. Some are enrolled by us, going an on-site training just like here. And I want you to listen to their words. Don't listen to me. Look at them tonight. What's going on in our nation right now? The Foothills Church of Christ in Searcy, Arkansas. This is a congregation where Joshua Alexander graduated in July of last year, Memphis School of Preaching. I trained that young man, and so did Memphis and the good instruction. And he took that training. He goes to Foothills. He calls me. He says, Rob, he says, we're going to evangelize. 11 baptisms from July to December, and he said 4 already this year. That's a church of 100. Let's just keep going. This is the Hatton Church of Christ in Hatton, Alabama. Chris Miller, 18 baptisms. This is Jake Medford. Jake Medford never went to a school of preaching. He's not a preacher. Jake Medford found our material on World Video Bible School. He calls me, says, Rob, we want to enroll the church. Can you give us the guidance, the tools, the training? I said, absolutely. 30 members when he got there. There are over 40, 50 members now. They had 7 baptisms last year. This is the Honolulu Church of Christ. Downtown Honolulu. Skyscrapers surround the church building. The homeless are everywhere. They had to wall in the church just to protect the property. I rolled into Honolulu. I got out of the car and I looked at my wife and I said, this will never work here. I said, they've got so many challenges. Tagalima Essie walked up and he said, Mom, the preacher. We gave it our all. We were there 10 days. We gave that church everything we could give them. I'm getting ready to roll out of the parking lot. Tagalima says, he's knocking on my window. He runs up to the car. Rob, roll the window down. I rolled it down. He said, what's the record? I said, what do you mean? He said, what's the record of baptisms? I said, around 22%. He says, we'll beat it. 26% of their membership were baptized in 2022. They baptized 21% last year. Brethren, they've already had 5 this year. That's a church that's unstoppable. That's a congregation that gets it. Let's just keep going. Here we got the Carnes Church of Christ. So in July of 2022, we go to an American mission campaign. We take 150. Jesse and Raul Rule were right there. 27 baptisms remaining in the year. Last year, 50 baptisms in that church. That's over 70 baptisms. This right here is the Lafayette Church of Christ. David Payton, he's got Lou Gehrig's disease. They gotta carry him into the pulpit just to let him preach. They have hit their mark every single year. This right here is La Plata Church of Christ. Eric Sykes is one of our regional trainers. You can't stop Eric Sykes. He's a force of nature. He's baptized 60 people in the last two and a half years. He's in Baltimore, Maryland. Did you know you can baptize in Baltimore? Brother, if we can baptize in Baltimore, Maryland, don't you think we can do it in San Angelo, Texas? Don't you think we can do it in Texas? They're doing it in Maryland. Let's not let Maryland embarrass us. We can do it here too. We can do it all over the world when we train our people how to do it. Let's go to Lake City, Florida, 16, T.J. Gifford. Let's go over here to Randy Chambers, a remote church. He calls me and says, Rob, I can't wait 2 years. Well, I got to start now. I said, Randy, enroll remotely. You can do it. Randy Chambers, they hit their mark. This right here is Madison County congregation, about 25 members. They called and they said, we're going to close our doors. I said, don't do that. I said, let's just make a metric, 4 baptisms. Bring me in, I'll train you. And we did, and they hit it. Now they're not talking about closing their doors, they're growing. In fact, they're averaging around 40 now. Let's go over here to the Linville Forest Church in North Carolina, 11. Let's go here to the Lackland Terrace Church of Christ outside of San Antonio, 8. Let's go here to the Glencoe Church. We just changed our membership last year to this church because they were about to close their doors. I called Brooks Boyd. I said, Brooks, if we move our family, we'll help you. Don't close your doors. We've gone from 40 to 50 to 60 to 70. We had 5 baptisms last year. We got Bible studies going on. This church, we've had 8 restorations. Let's just go over here to the McKenzie Church, 17 baptisms. Let's go to the Timberville Church, 5 baptisms. A little church over here in Timberville, Virginia, about 40 members, and they get it. Let's go to the Northern Oaks Church, or Midtown Church in Victoria, 23 baptisms. And I think they had 12 or 13 in 2022. Let's go to New Hampshire, because you can baptize in the Northeast. Little church, about 40. They had 5 baptisms. Let's go to Natalia, Jim Word, 7 baptisms. Let's go over here to Ohio. We've got 6 churches right now enrolled in Ohio, and they're killing it. Terry Townsend, every week he's talking about Bible study. They had 10 last year. Let's go over here to North Meadville in Pennsylvania. Little church, about 40, 7 baptisms. Let's go to the Northern Oaks Church. Last year, I think it was around 14. This year, 20. They've gone from 90 to about 120, 30 in membership in the last 2 years. Let's go to the East Flushing Church, downtown New York. Can you baptize in New York City? I can tell you Clarence Jenkins believes it because he's doing it. Let's go over here. Paintville, 21 baptisms. Town Acres, 8 baptisms. Let's go over here to Georgia, brand new church plant. And McKinley Pate says, Rob, what do you think about a metric? I said, well, you got 1 family that's baptized 2. And they did. He says, this next year we're going to have 4. I said, McKinley, you guys are going to grow. They got about 25 now sitting in there. This right here is a Sanford church, 6 baptisms. This is a Southside Church of Christ in Grand Rapids, Michigan. They had, last year was 8 baptisms. They've already baptized, let me see if I get the number, 2 last week. There are 10 baptisms now because they had 2 this Southwest. You want to see a church that's turned around? Last year and this year, this church has got over 40 baptisms. This is a congregation that is just exploding in Austin, Texas. Some in Texas don't even consider Austin, Texas anymore. But they baptize there. If we keep baptizing, it'd be Texas again. They think about it, brethren. We'll turn it around. Let's go over here. University, 70 baptisms, Montgomery, Alabama. They baptized a football team. That's a mission field. Warner Robins, 29 baptisms. Let's go over here to New Hope, 9 baptisms. They had, I think it was like 19 last year, 9 the previous year. This little church was 40 members when we got there. You had to take a chainsaw just to get there. I've never seen a road like that. There's always a down tree. And so this is a church, 2 elders and a preacher. And they're 90 today. 40 to 90 in 2 years. This right here is Woodstock, 24 baptisms. Matt Amos. Incredible congregation. I could tell stories about all of these. Brand new church here, Hartford County. Brand new congregation. They came to our training when we were up in Baltimore, and they have had 8 baptisms last year. Here's a Coweta Church of Christ. They set the record. Lima just thought he had it until he met Keno Shrum, 31.7%. And we asked Keno to join us and be one of our regional trainers. Brethren, we're baptizing people all over the country. I mean, you can see what God's doing. I mean, God has given the increase. God is the one that is responsible for this. When we do the work, He'll bless it. And we can baptize in Oklahoma, and we can do it in Baltimore, New York. Brethren, we can do it anywhere. And so the only thing stopping the Church of Christ from growing is us. Brethren, let me be clear about something. Our God will fight for you when you fight for Him. But if you sit in your pews and don't fight, He'll let you die. He let Israel die. And the Ark of the Covenant didn't save them, nor did the temple. He'll let you die. Brethren, just because you've got a church building doesn't mean you're going to make it. The only way we make it is we got to do Bible studies. I want to take some time tonight. I want to demonstrate what a Bible study looks like. And I need a volunteer tonight. We're going to have a conversion. And we're going to baptize someone tonight. And I'm going to demonstrate this. I'm going to show you how simple it is. And so I'm going to get a little interaction from the audience. And so I want to warn you, whoever's in the booth, not Brother Smitty, he's looking at me. Whoever's in the booth back there, I'm about to do a few little things here. So be ready with your camera. I need a volunteer. Who needs to be baptized? Mike Bonner just raised his hand. Mike, look at that. Man, he's ready. Mike, if you'll take your Bible and a set of back to the Bibles, just bring that simple. If I just come on up here and sit down. And in fact, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we're going to demonstrate a few things. And Mike, just take a seat right there. And what I want to do very quickly is demonstrate how I get into a Bible study, how I conduct a Bible study. I want to take the edge off. And Mike's just going to play a little role play with me. And let's just start from the beginning. Mike walked into the church building. We immediately engaged our visitor team. We're going to talk about this tomorrow. They're Navy SEALs. They're very good. And we've engaged Mike, right? And so we've taken Mike out to eat, and we've got his contact information, and we're flooding him with cards. I mean, he's going to get 5 cards a day for the next 3 weeks. And Mike knows he's loved. And Mike and I were talking, and I understand Mike likes to work out. And I say, Mike, you know, locally there's a little workout club here, and man, you could tell I like to lift, you know. And so, you know, how about you and I? We'll go if you want to join the club. I got a free membership pass. He said, man, I like that. So I said, we'll get up in the morning. We'll work out a little bit. So Mike and I are working out, getting to know each other, you know. And man, the church has been flooding him with cards. And let me show you how easy this is. Because I know you're scared. Don't be. When you do your job, I'll do mine. It's real simple. Hey, Mike, what do you think about the Ninth and Main Church of Christ? What do you think about us? They're listening. Yeah, and I got him right where I want him. And and I said, yeah, they are, you know. I said, hey, Mike, do you know a lot about the Ninth and Main Church of Christ?
A little bit.
Hey, Mike, I just curious. Would you like to know a little bit more about us? Yeah, that's the normal answers I get. And I cannot ask those questions if you don't do your job. The reason I ask those questions tonight is because I know the church has flooded him with love. I know that he's felt the warmth and compassion of a congregation. And I know that now that the soil has been tilled, I can try to plant some seed. And so this is a process. And sometimes it takes weeks to get there. And sometimes it takes months and sometimes years to get there. But I know that Mike's at a good place. I know he's enjoying, you know, the friendship of this church. So I just ask those 3 questions. I call it the 3 question method. You'll need to memorize those 3 questions. We're going to go over those again. I use the same 3 questions every single time. Now they got Mike. So I said, well, Mike, you know, tomorrow night, my wife's going to make your favorite. And you said you'd like steak. And we're going to make steak and potatoes. You're a meat and potato man.
No, sir.
You know, no, sir. Oh, no.
Broccoli.
Well, broccoli. Nicole, can you fix broccoli? She said, I'll try. And so we're going to have broccoli. And we're going to bring it on over. And we're going to eat. And my daughter, she's a dessert specialist, a ninja of dessert makers. And you just name the dessert, and she'll make it. Cherry cheesecake. Hannah knows how to make cheesecake. So we're just going to eat. And I'm going to say, Mike, you know, I just so happen to have these little booklets. Well, they're right here. And you got them. And I said, let's look at these together. And before I do that, I need to ask a question. And Mike, you and I have become pretty good friends. Let's suppose you lived here in San Angelo, and I didn't. And let's suppose I lived, I don't know, in New York City. And I said, you know, honey, I'd like to get out of New York. And, you know, Mike and his wife, and we're just good friends. And why don't we go to San Angelo? And I called you. I said, hey Mike, I'm going to move my family to San Angelo. And I said, Mike, would you help me? What would you say?
Sure.
And I said, Mike, I need you to give me some direction. I said, if I needed some direction from New York to San Angelo, could you help me? All right. I know he would. I'd say, yes. Let's do this again. I said, Mike, I live in San Francisco, California, and I want to come to San Angelo, Texas. And Mike, would you give me directions from San Francisco to San Angelo?
Yes.
And Mike, would you give me the same directions from San Angelo to San Francisco as from New York to San Angelo? Would you give me the same directions? No. I've only had one preacher in 20 years miss that question. Why doesn't he give me the same directions? Anybody can talk. Why don't I get the same directions from both places? Why? The starting points are different. I'm going to ask a question. Is it important to know where people are located before you get them directions? Do we always start at the same place? No. All right, so Back to the Bible is designed to start with people who share your values. Okay, so when we work with Back to the Bible, I'm presuming things. I'm presuming this person already believes in God, they believe in Jesus, they believe in the Bible, and that is going to cover a good swath of people, especially here in Texas, and more importantly, the people you hang out with, because we hang out with people like us. All right, so we normally hang out in Jerusalem. We normally don't hang out in Athens, so the people that we hang out with kind of have some similar values. Back to the Bible gets it, but it's not always the case. John Garza, he's our regional trainer in Austin. I said, John, last year, 18 baptisms. How many of those baptisms did you have to start with believe the Bible and not back to the Bible? Because they didn't believe. He said about, I think he said 12%. So about three of them. They couldn't use back to the Bible because they did not believe. Now we have another study for people who don't believe. So I'm going to go through a series of questions. Now I've changed the way I've done this through the years. When I, 20 years ago, when Nicole and I would sit down, I would photocopy this survey. I think the survey's on page 105 or so. Open your book. I think around 100, maybe 102. And you'll find this survey questions that are listed there. And in this survey, you're going to find a list of questions, and they're just there to gauge where the person's at. So I might, 105. Is it 105? Okay. 102. Okay. Now, here's what I want to do. I'm going to make this very conversational, and I'm going to make this very relaxing. I am not going to give him the sheet, and I'm just going to say this. Hey, Mike, you and I both believe in God, don't we?
Yes.
Now, notice what I did. I included myself in a conversation. Nicole is over here listening very carefully and writing down, because I want his answers. And I said, hey, Mike, you and I talked about Jesus, and we've talked about God, and I guess we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he'll say, yeah, I grew up, absolutely. Hey, Mike, we believe Jesus was born of a virgin, lived, died on the cross, rose 3 days later. Yeah. So I'm establishing some foundational truths. We both said we believe in the Bible. And, some people say you can't trust the Bible. I don't believe the Bible has mistakes in it or contradictions. Do you? So we're, again, on the same page. Mike, I believe God will do everything he said in his word, don't you? And Mike, I remember I was 15 years old. I couldn't get my legs to move. So I went up to Daryl Conley. I said, Brother Conley, I said, I need to be a Christian, but I can't seem to get forward. I'm going to sit on the front pew. And I was saved. Mike, are you saved? Yes. I had to help him. And Mike, and I want you to think back to the day you were saved. And I want you to think about that. It's a special day. Do you mind sharing that with me? What happened that day?
Well, I asked Jesus in my heart because I was going through a difficult time. And my parents were fussing and fighting all the time. And I just wanted to have a little bit of relief. I just wanted to go to God. He saved me.
Elders, did you hear what your preacher believes? Jesus went into his heart to be saved. There's not an answer he can give. I won't play with him a little bit. So he's going to give it back to me eventually. So he's going to give me an answer, and I'm going to write it all down. And Nicole's writing it down. So I kind of know Jesus came into his heart. Hey, Mike, I've been baptized. You've been baptized? Say yes. And Mike, when did that baptism take place? Was it before you had this Jesus experience, after? How'd that work?
It was on Baptism Sunday.
Baptism Sunday. Yeah, absolutely. I have everything I need. I know exactly where he's at. So now I know where I want to take him. And the question for this church is, do you know how to get him there? That's why you need a method. I know exactly now. I'm just going to take back to the Bible. We're going to make it very simple. So we're going to open it up. Open up your green booklet real quick. And look how easy this is. So simple. So we're in John 8:32. I'll have Mike open his Bible up, And I say, hey, Mike, let's go to John 8:32. And if he needs a little help, I'll help him. It's amazing how quickly people learn the books of the Bible if you let them. Just give him a little time. Help, give him direct left and right. I try not to give page numbers. I want him to learn his Bible. The more comfortable he is with his Bible, you ought to see the confidence level increase. If you spoon feed him, he'll never grow. So just help him. Just give him a little bit of help. Hey, Mike, would you read that for me? John 8:32.
And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Mike, Jesus says the blank will make you free. What makes us free?
Truth.
Would you write that in the blank for me? So he'll write it in the blank. It's real simple. And so the less talking you do, the more effective the Bible study becomes. Now's not the time to do a contextual analysis of John 8:32. Now's not the time to do cross-reference work. Now's not the time to talk about the Greek word. Now's not the time to interject your commentary on John 8:32. Now's the time to be quiet and allow the Bible to do the teaching. It's simple. You're going to take him through the green booklet, and he's going to learn some very simple lessons. He's going to learn that God has all the truth, that he gave all that truth to the Son. The Son gave all that truth to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave all that truth to the apostles. And the apostles wrote it down in the Bible. And we're under the new law and not the old law. And I might even have a little fun with Mike at the end. Because, man, I didn't know that, Rob. Hey, Mike, by the way, we still under the Ten Commandments today? Of course he's going to say yes. You say, wait a minute, Rob, wait. You just went through this whole lesson showing we're not under the Old Testament, we're under the New Testament, and he still thinks he's under the Ten Commandments. Listen to me, church. It took God 3 days to get Israel out of Egypt. It took him 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. You're not going to change a life of error in a 90-minute Bible study. Now, Mike knows, he knows academically the truth. He's just not applied it. So I like to have fun with the student. And this is a highlight of the study. Hey, Mike, did you know that 9 out of 10 commandments are restated in the New Testament? There's one that's not. Did you know which one it is? And you ought to see him sit there and try to figure, oh, man, you know, they're going through. Man, I don't know which one. It's remember the Sabbath. Mike, you know, Jesus rose on the first day of the week, and that's the day of worship. And it's the day Jesus... Man, I didn't know that. Normally, I mean, I'm talking like 99% of the time. It is a light bulb moment. Man, no one ever taught this to me before. So they leave on a high note. Now, I just use that question just to generate a little bit of application. All right? Extremely rare that would ever evolve into any type of debate. They don't know enough to debate. See, when Mike and I were growing up, Mike and I are about the same age. We both grew up in San Antonio. Mike, when we were teenagers and we did a Bible study, you could expect the thief on the cross. You could expect all these arguments to be given. Brethren, most people don't know there's a thief. They don't even know that. They don't know there's two testaments. All the things that you're prepared for, listen, preachers, all the things they don't know enough to make the argument. Don't help them. Yeah, don't build a barrier. They don't know any of this stuff. Most people don't know enough to make an argument. So just keep going. Let's go to book two. So we're going to get to book number two, and we're going to focus in on the same thing. We're going to start with Matthew 16:18, right? And we're just going to walk it through. All the years I've been doing these studies, I can't even remember a time when someone gave me the wrong answer. And someone says, well, how about if they make the argument about Peter starting the church and the masculine and the feminine Greek? They don't know any of that. They're not going to make that argument. They're just going to read the text and answer the questions. And remember, if they do ask a question, what is your response? Hey, that's a pretty good question. Let's write that down at the end of the book and we'll get back to it. So we're not going to get sidetracked. We're not going to die on Mount Greek. We're going to keep going. And we're just going to keep teaching because they're going to get all this eventually. So we're going to go through book two. Let me take you to page number five. Go to page five, Mike, and back to the Bible. This is something, in fact, Jesse or Raul, I can't remember which one of you were doing a Bible study last week, and it was Jesse. And Jesse, you said for the first time you decided to try this little teaching method. Well, I'm going to give you a teaching method. It's very effective here. So you may want to take a note. Hey, Mike, I know you've been reading a lot of these passages. Would you let me read Acts 20, verse 7? Okay, he'll say, yeah. I said, now, Mike, I have a tendency to misread it. I have a tendency to read it wrong. And if I do, you stop me cold turkey. Okay, ready? on the first day of the month when the disciples came to... No? Okay, let me try again. On the last day of the week when the disciples came together... No, that's not it either. Okay. On the first and third Sundays of the month when the disciples came together to break bread... That's not it. Okay. Quarterly, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart. You gonna stop me?
No.
Okay. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. So on Easter, the disciples came. On Christmas, the disciples came. I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep throwing this out, right? And every time no, that's not it, preacher. That's not it. That's not it. Why am I doing that? Because somewhere in that answer is Mike Bonner. He's doing one of those. And guess what he just did? He said, Mike Bonner, I'm wrong. I didn't tell him. He told himself. And so this is self-teaching. It's the greatest teaching you can do. How did I do it? What I did is I kept asking, is this what it says? Is this what it says? Mike says, no, that's not what it says. Then finally, I'll say, upon the first day of the week. And Mike, that's it. It's very powerful. Now, I'm not going to go. I'm not here to tell Mike he's wrong. I'm here to get Mike to think. And I'm going to do that by just doing a little role play. And then I'll say, hey, Mike, when God told the Israelites in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8 to remember the Sabbath, did he mean for them to keep every Sabbath? All right. Mike, when those Christians met upon the first day of the week to eat the Lord's Supper, did they do it on the first day of each week? And Mike, should Christians today eat the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week? He's going to get it right. Now he's still not completely where he needs to be. He knows that's when he's supposed to do it, but I'm going to get him to draw some conclusions, and I do that by just following the method. So we're going to go to the next verse. And I love this. This will preach. This right here, this works as good as anything in a Bible study. Now concerning the collection of the saints. So Mike reads this. As I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Hey, Mike, stop right there. Do you notice something similar about this verse and the last verse? First day of the week. And Mike, we're talking about the contribution. I got a question. You said you've been a religious man most of your life, right? And you've gone to churches, lots of churches. Mike, these churches you attended, did they ever give money?
Every week.
Yeah, every. And Mike, as they're passing the plate, if you went up to their pastor and said, hey, you know, why is it that you guys are passing the collection every Sunday? Could they quote this verse and say, listen, that's what the Bible says? Mike, have you ever went to a church that did it every other Sunday?
No.
Have you ever get into a church that didn't give quarterly?
No.
Have you ever given to a church that just gave once a month? Mike, I wonder why, when it comes to taking your money, they always get it right. When it comes to memorializing the Son of God, somehow we get confused. Mike, is it God's will that we give as we've been prospered?
Yes.
Mike, are we to make a contribution on the same day that we're to partake of the Lord's Supper? Brethren, it's not that hard. I want to make the Bible study as simple. Jesse, tell us. Would you be okay? Tell us what happened when you did that last week. Tell the church. Jesse and Raul are evangelists. If you've not met these two men, I trained them at Southwest. They've taken it to different places in Texas. Spend some time. We're going to take a break, get to know them. And there's a lot of evangelists. And I got to meet this young man right here over at Big Spring, Texas. And they've already had a baptism this year, I think you said, using this. So you got people here that can tell you what happens. I know Mike's doing it. I mean, he's a soul winner. So we got people here that can tell you what happens when you use simple scriptural methods. It works. Brethren, you got the truth on your side. You have no reason to be afraid. Let's take 5 minutes, stretch our legs, and we'll come back.